On Saturday, July 5th, hundreds of housing activists and their supporters occupied a section of Montreal's Parc La Fontaine to strike a tent city. The action, organized by Clac Logement and the Committee de Sans-Emploi, was to respond through taking direct action to Montreal's current housing crisis, which is marked by vacancy rates of less than 1% throughout the city, increased gentrification of formerly low-cost working-class areas, as well as increasing homelessness. The tent city, which included hundreds of participants, free food servings, and a pirate radio station dubbed Tent City Radio, lasted until around 1 a.m. the next day, when hundreds of riot police entered Parc La Fontaine to brutally evict the constructed tent city using shields and batons. There were upwards of 12 people arrested in the police intervention. I spoke with Claude Catherine, an organizer with Clac Logement, prior to the police eviction of Tent City.
Catherine from Clac Logement, one of the organizing groups of the Tent City. So there's also a Comité des Sans-Emploi and Comité Logement en Cité-Quartier-Ville. We put our efforts together today to come take this park, Le Parc La Fontaine, to denounce a bunch of things. We wanted to denounce the housing crisis and its many faces. We're demanding decent housing for all. We're also demanding an end to criminalization of the homeless and of poverty. And so that's why we're in the park today, because that's one of the tactics of the city, to hide the ugly face of the housing crisis, to push people out of the parks, people who don't have houses. And so on one hand, they're creating the housing crisis with their policies and the decisions that they're taking at the city level, and on the other side, they're criminalizing the people who are affected by their decisions. And so we're here today to say that we won't be out of here by midnight like the city wants us to be. And so another thing we're denouncing, we're also demanding the right to squat empty buildings, because there's many empty buildings in the city, and we feel that it's criminal and unacceptable to have empty buildings in a city that's in the midst of a housing crisis. So those are the three things that we're demanding coming here today. At Parc La Fontaine, the reason why we chose to be here, there are many reasons, one of them being that it's a touristy attraction for the city, and we want to put the housing crisis in the face of the city itself. And so no more hiding in dark places, no more repression in parks, and we'll be in the city's face from now on.
It's tourist season in Montreal. Can you talk about what that means concretely for homeless people in Montreal?
People are forced to go into the shelter system, which is frankly inadequate and insufficient. So the shelter system isn't the solution, obviously. And for the people sleeping in the streets, it's more repression, violence against them. So it's sort of a double violence. On the one hand, they're denied the right to decent housing because they can't afford it. And on the other hand, they're repressed by the police wherever they try to find shelter and housing and safety in the city. And that's why we're here, to say that no more. No, we're going to stand in solidarity with people who are homeless all year round, people who became the homeless on July 1st, but also people in precarious situations with bad housing conditions and the like, and we're all affected by the housing crisis. So it's a call out to everyone that are affected by the situation.
You're part of a group called the Anti-Capitalist Convergence, Clac Housing. Can you speak about how you feel the system of capitalism in terms of economics relates to the housing crisis?
It's directly related, in the sense that the right to decent housing, a basic human right, is put out on the private market, and it's now used by people to make profit. And obviously, that's wrong, and obviously, we're never going to provide decent shelter for everyone in the capitalist system, because people who are owning the capital of the city are obviously making decisions, and they obviously don't care about people's needs. And so we're saying that we need to attack the situation on all fronts, and it's not only related to housing. It's one of the impacts of the capitalist inequalities created by the society.
You said that one of the demands today is for the right to squat empty buildings. There's many empty buildings in Montreal. They remain empty. People remain on the street. Why are you supporting that?
We're demanding the right to squat empty buildings because there should be houses. This should be places where people can find shelter instead of being left to degradation, to then be either just torn to the ground are converted into condos, which happen a lot in the neighborhoods in the southwest in Hochelaga-Maisonneuve. And so we're saying that if they're empty, the community should take control of their buildings, and they should be used in the way that the community wishes to use them. And so the control and the decision-making power should be left to the people living in the area, so that they can house themselves in the way they choose. So
So what do you expect to happen today? Tents have been set up throughout Parc Lafontaine.
We got a pretty easy time to set up, put the ribbon around what we are actually reappropriating. We're inviting everyone to come because we're expecting that tonight will be a test. The police have been saying that there will be no tolerance past midnight, no tents allowed. Obviously, there are tents everywhere. And so I think that tonight they'll see how much we're willing to resist, which we are. And on the other hand, we'll see how much they'll have to allow because we're here to stay and we're going to fight for what we're demanding.
Every July, hundreds of Montreal residents with expired leases are rendered homeless by the lack of affordable housing, while potentially thousands more are forced into substandard or unaffordable apartments. I spoke with Christina Exedus, coordinator of the Concordia University Housing and Job Bank, during Tent City about the city's housing crisis.
Yeah, my name is Christina. I'm the coordinator at the CSU Off-Campus Housing and Job Bank at Concordia University. And what do I think about the action today? I think it's exactly what has to be done. I think that it's perfectly normal, in fact, has to happen, that when the city and various government bodies don't meet people's needs and, in fact, do everything within their means to subvert them, that people should then take the situation into their own hands. And I think this is exactly what needs to happen. The city this year, compared to last year, where they at least had the decency to acknowledge and take seriously the housing crisis, even if they didn't do anything to stop it. This year is just big self-congratulations and, you know, taps on the back for the wonderful, stupendous job that they've done, their emergency measures. But in fact, they've done absolutely nothing but what they must do in terms of helping people who've been completely crushed by the housing crisis. But in terms of resolving the housing crisis itself, squat.
Can you speak about some of the realities of the housing crisis? What does that mean concretely in the city of Montreal?
Concretely, it means that people are going to be paying far, far, far beyond what they can afford for apartments that are substandard in most cases. And that means that they're going to be cutting into their grocery money, they're going to be cutting into their medication, they're going to be cutting all the things that you need to have like a basic, healthy, normal standard of living. And essentially, I mean, it means that an entire class of people are going to be even more impoverished than they have been before.
If you were to point fingers as to who is responsible for creating this crisis in people's lives, who would you talk about?
I would talk about, obviously, people who are developing in what were traditionally poor and working class neighborhoods. I would point the fingers at all the various government lackeys who turn a blind eye or go out of their way to help private developers and those who are out to make a quick buck at the expense of the poor, the working poor. And I would blame government specifically for making sure, in fact, completely ensuring that the Régie is a completely toothless and useless body that does absolutely nothing to protect the housing stock in Montreal and to put concrete and practical measures forward to ensure that housing remains affordable, remains decent, and remains available in reasonable numbers.
Can you maybe describe the situation here at the park?
Well, right now, people are relaxing, they're setting up their tents, they're taking up the space, and I think that there's a bit of a, you know, waiting that's going to happen for a little bit. I think eventually people are going to start to, like, put forward, like, events and meetings, and it's going to be a really wonderful experience, and I invite everybody to come.
The Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, a group based in Toronto, organized to send over 20 people to participate in Montreal's Tent City. OCAP has organized many actions throughout the last decade which confront the realities of homelessness and poverty in Toronto. In 1999, OCAP organized a similar Tent City action called Safe Park, where hundreds of activists, homeless and poor, occupied a downtown park to take action against poverty and homelessness in Toronto. OCAP also organized to evict the riding office of the previous Minister of Finance of Ontario to protest his provincial economic policies, which contributed to the massive and ongoing homelessness crisis in Toronto. OCAP, last summer, also organized to coincide with the visit of Pope John Paul to Toronto, the Pope Squad, to take action against homelessness. I spoke with three activists from OCAP, Stephanie, Stefan, and Josh, about OCAP's long history of actions to fight against homelessness and poverty during Montreal's Tent City.
My name is Stefan. I'm with OCAP, and I came because OCAT faces a lot of the same issues that that poor folk in Montreal face, and we're sort of engaged in similar battles as well. And Montreal activists have come down to support us many times in the past, and we thought it's only appropriate that we do the same thing today.
Yeah, I'm Steph from OCAP, and one of the reasons why the Toronto contingent came to Montreal today, too, is because Montreal activists and people who are fighting have formed a very important relationship with some of the political communities in Toronto, and we came also as a sign of respect for the organizing that's going on here in Montreal and the support that Montreal has shown Toronto organizing for many years, going as far back as June 15, 2000 and before.
My name's Josh, also from OCAP, and we came down on a bus down from Toronto, about 25 of us, OCAP members and a couple others as well. And yeah, we came down to see how it was all going to play out. We've done similar actions like this in Toronto. Just through the day, we've been trying to offer stuff that we know, experiences that we've had doing similar things, and likewise Montreal has done the same to us, so I think we just came to foster that connection and to continue that kind of stuff.
Now, OCAP has organized similar actions in the past, has organized a lot of marches which focus specifically on the realities of homelessness in Toronto. So maybe can you give some background as to that?
Back in August 99, we did a very similar action to this. That particular East End neighborhood of Dundas and Sherbourne was going through a situation where they were getting a double whammy. First of all, the police were going on this campaign of actively kicking people out of the parks, hassling them, issuing people tickets, and just doing a generalized harassment campaign. At the same time, that hostel services was inflating the number of advertised beds that it actually had in the system, where actually people were going to the shelter system. There wasn't actually enough beds to accommodate them. And some of the beds that the shelter system was counting were actually like mats on the floor and hallways and whatnot. So it was just this outrageous situation that was going on where people were getting squeezed in both directions. We sort of thought that it would be a good idea to promote the idea of safety, safety for homeless people in a public park. And we decided to occupy a public park and take it over and provide that safety and provide a sense of community and, you know, a very visible sign of resistance and to what was going on. Essentially, that's how it relates to what's going on over here as well. There are some minor differences in the sense that where we situated it was right on the cusp of an extremely poor community in Toronto and an extremely rich community, very close to the downtown core, which for years and years has been trying to reinvent itself into basically a yuppie playpen, and so we were basically standing in the way of that. And as the action unfolded, that lasted for about 3 days until the police came in really early in the morning and sort of violently evicted us. But before that happened, the amount of support that was gaining was actually quite impressive. The television shows and the call-in shows were registering a lot of calls from people saying, I really support this, I want to bring down furniture, I want to do as much as I can. And we had a lot of people sleeping in the park. It was an organizational nightmare because it's essentially what you're doing is you're trying to run a shelter with no roof, no walls, no running, no electricity, no facilities at all in the park under the constant pressure of hostile forces in the city, especially the police and the politicians. So it really is a test of your organizational capabilities. But I think it was extremely valuable for OCAP, and it really set a precedent in Toronto in terms of the level of activism. It's one of those actions that has a life of its own. Either it works or it doesn't. And the Safe Park in Toronto certainly worked until the police put the kibosh on it.
One of the things that I think is compelling about a tent city action and a lot of the actions that we've done in Toronto around housing is that it pokes holes in, as Stefan said already, the sort of myths that the government perpetuates about how much housing there is that's affordable, what rents are like, what the shelter system is like, how many people are living and dying on the streets. And I think that OCAP works find actions that act as powerful symbols, and Stefan gave the example of the Safe Park as one, and I think we've had many actions like that, whether it was the eviction of the finance minister's office, which was a direct rebuttal to what had been happening in the province of Ontario and how many people were losing their housing on a monthly basis, how many people were having to deal with the sheriff, having to look at their belongings out on the street, having to wait for that knock on the door and the paperwork from the landlord pushed beneath it. And there was a very strong response as well to that action, which was a symbolic thrusting out of the furniture of this MPP's onto the street, you know, in an undignified and disrespectful manner, in the same way that people are treated on a weekly, monthly, daily basis in the city and in the province. Josh can speak better on the Pope Squat, but I think that also was, you know, another attempt to show the truth behind, you know, how much space there is to live in this city and what people will choose to take up in terms of housing when given the choice. They will not choose to live in overcrowded shelters where illness is rampant and theft and violence is often a really serious problem, where couples can't stay together, where pregnant women have an incredibly grim future awaiting them if that's what they call housing. People choose to set up their own living structures and try to live with decency and dignity.
Can you speak about Pope Squat?
Yeah, the Pope Squat was another action that OCAP took in the string of many around the issue of housing in Toronto and the issue of housing in Ontario and the lack thereof. It was done during Pope John Paul II's visit to Toronto in the summer of 2002. And it was an action, it seems, that was built in a similar way to the one that's been built here. There was a lot of outreach. We did it in a community that was that's facing huge gentrification, that's facing a huge lack of affordable housing, a crackdown from the city around rooming houses and other affordable housing type. And it was also the neighborhood that the 1 million pilgrims were going to be marching through. So we decided that it was an opportune time to take action around an issue that is very central in Toronto life. We occupied a building and held it for about 3.5 months in this community, and there was a large amount of public support around it. Unfortunately, it was evicted in the end when the spotlight had dimmed a little bit on the building. And I don't think that there was any doubts in anybody's mind in that community what exactly the squat and the protest and the action was all about.
Montreal's riot police evicted the hundreds of participants of Montreal's Tent City inside Parc Lafontaine around 1 a.m. in the morning on the morning of July 6th. Over 100 riot police using floodlights in the dark park cleared Tent City using shields and batons. There were upwards of 12 people arrested in the police intervention. I spoke with housing activist Amy Miller during the police eviction of Tent City.
Well, I would say what's happening here is the unfortunate, sad tradition of housing actions in Canada, and specifically in the eastern side of Canada, where there's large groupings of people that come in, show community support, show an initiative, show an alternative, and take some stances. And then we have no negotiations from the city or from any officials, and we have a lot of repression and brutality from the police force, which are, again, used simply as tools by the state to keep any real social questions at bay and to keep them quiet. We have a real big housing problem in Canada, in Montreal, in Toronto, in Vancouver. We're getting more and more urban, and our rural centers are disintegrating, and here we go. People are trying to organize because they don't have homes, and all we're getting is hit in the face, and it has to end. People have to start waking up and listening, because this cannot continue.
Can you describe what's happening right now?
Well, what we're seeing is about 150 riot cops geared up. It's around, I'm guessing, 1:30 in the morning, and we have about 350 supporters, maybe 400 supporters, a lot of community members, a lot of people that live in this area, and a lot of people that have been organizing and putting a lot of time, and also a lot of homeless people who are here. So there's a large diverse group that are represented that are all here because they take an interest in their needs, and the basic need is housing, and that's what we're out here for. There isn't housing, and that this isn't acceptable.
You've been listening to a series of interviews recorded during Montreal's Tent City on Saturday, July 5th. Tent City, an action organized by CLAC Logement and the Comité des Sans-Emploi, has put a spotlight on the housing and homelessness crisis in Montreal while illustrating the power of community action to change this reality. The three principal demands of the Tent City organizers are decent housing for all, the end to the criminalization of poverty and homelessness, and the repossession of empty buildings for community use. To get more information about Tent City in Montreal, visit tentcity.tactic.org. That's tentcity.tactic.org. You can also visit www.montreal.indymedia.org. This piece was produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stéphane Christophe.